Once again, the Christmas season has rolled around, and people are saying, where did the year go? And boy, Betty and I say that all the time. How much faster can a year go? It seems like we just put away the Christmas decorations and we're pulling them out again. Well, we're wondering how our kids are going to pay for Christmas presents for our grandkids. You know, it's January comes around, and that's when the credit card bills come in. Well, these Thanksgiving days are basically pre-season holiday. You know, Thanksgiving gets you in shape to eat the food in December, right? It gets you ready for that. We sleep, we eat, we watch football. We don't stop until January. Well, this Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent, which leads up to the birth of Jesus. Thanks to Jim and Bernadette for having the Jim and Bernadette show today. They did everything. We hope that Marianne Howard will recover quickly when she changes her medication. And we have another announcement. I think that Tom Fabricius is going to be moving back into the neighborhood. He's here today. Thank you, Lord. He said he hasn't closed on the house yet, but that'll be soon, I'm sure. The art of giving thanks is one that separates man from the animals. Well, you know, sometimes I wondered, our dog Riley, who passed away in July, I think he was a very thankful dog for the house he lived in. But it's a noble thing that only humans can really can thank and be honest about it. Happy is the man that understands that all of life is a gift of God, and the final gift is, besides this gift on earth, of course, is the final gift of everlasting life. That's why the Bible says in Thessalonians, in everything, give thanks. When we can't do anything else, we can be grateful. We can be grateful for the God who has given us this life. And somebody said, if you can't be thankful for what you received, be thankful for what you have escaped. You know, that's brush with on a car accident or maybe taking a wrong step off a curb. There's a special Thanksgiving message in this Psalm 131, and next week we're going to be looking at Advent. King David wrote many of the Psalms, not all of them. He's called the sweet singer of Israel. You know, nearly half the Psalms were written by David. You know, reading the Bible sometimes is daunting. You open the Bible and you start reading and you read about genealogies and histories. But if you really want to get into the Bible easily and kind of slip into it, open to Psalms. There are 150 Psalms. And Psalm 116 is the very middle of the Bible. So you just open your Bible right in the middle and you'll come to a Psalm. So start reading that. It's great therapy for the soul. They're wonderful. Psalm 131 is one of the pilgrim psalms. Its heading is called the Song of Ascents. What happened was the Hebrews, the Jews, made a pilgrim to Jerusalem every year for one of their annual festivals. And they would sing these psalms as they made their way up the mountain to Jerusalem. Very similar to the cotton pickers in the South that would sing the gospel hymns as they went to pick cotton. But I can remember as a young teenager, every summer, hopping on a bus to go to Boy Scout camp. 2 weeks away from home, wow, that was fantastic. I really enjoyed that. And there were about 40 of us in our troop in the Lutheran Church of Good Shepherd in Brooklyn, New York. And we would sing songs on the four-hour drive up to Narrowsburg, New York. And I'm sure that the driver would get really pretty tired of us singing 100 bottles of beer on the wall over and over again. Now, it's okay, because I was a Lutheran, to sing 100 bottles of beer on the wall, not 100 bottles of Coke, because, you know, Lutherans were German Lutherans, potluck dinners, and beer. That was our staples. Well, the pilgrim psalms are like the hymns we sing every week, to prepare them for worship, and that's why we sing hymns. We sing hymns to glorify God. We sing hymns to make ourselves ready for worship. Psalm 131 is one of the shortest to read, but one of the longest to learn. Now, there are three verses in Psalm 131, an important quality for us to consider in this Thanksgiving season. The psalm begins with these words. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. Well, not many of us would begin a prayer that way, kind of building ourselves up. It's kind of odd, as if David was bragging about humility. That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Bragging about humility. It's always tricky to talk about humility. How do you know when you're really humble? Come to think of it, if you're truly humble, you don't know about it. It has been well said that humility is a virtue which, once you think you have it, you've lost it. A humble person doesn't know it. Look how humble I am. It's helpful to know that the word humble in the Hebrew means high, lofty, on high mountains. It was used to describe King Saul, who was very, very tall. We don't know how tall, but he was one of the tallest men in the world at that time. It's also used of God, who said to be on high, whose thoughts are higher than the thoughts of men. God's thoughts are high. And we use the same word when we say to somebody, hey, get off your high horse, Buster. Let's be honest with ourselves. We have a culture that puts a very low value on humility. For example, just a little political statement. During the Republican nominations for president, Dr. Ben Carson didn't have a chance because he was too humble. He wasn't charismatic. He wasn't out, as they say, he wasn't out there. But he was a wonderful guy. Well, as the moment we enter this world, we need to get better. We need to get bigger. We need to get stronger. We need to look out for number one. We need to win through intimidation. We need to prove our success by the car we drive, the house we live in, the clothes we wear, and the friends we keep. While it may be true that the meek will inherit the earth, it doesn't seem to be happening in our society, but it will happen at the end. Sometimes you measure your worth by what kind of Christmas presents you receive or give. That's a curse on our land today. David went on to describe humility in the way he looked at his own limitations. He said, I don't concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. The Living Bible, which is a more modern translation, says, I don't pretend to know it all. David is saying there are many things in the universe that go far beyond our meager ability to understand. Don't worry about things like that. Just don't try to figure them out. Just love the Lord and be with him. We don't run the world. We don't have all the answers. And the harder we try, the more difficult it is. The second verse brings us to a second quality, which is very important. It says, but I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Now, weaning is something that most of the women who have had children understand what this is all about. A child is born, and he looks at his mother's breast as a source of sustenance for many weeks to go, many months, maybe a couple of years. He cries to his mother when he gets hungry, and she satisfies him. But when the day comes when he has to be weaned and take the bottle, he's not happy. Cries, his arms reach out, and he can't understand why this is happening. What's happened to mom? She used to be a friend of mine. She used to take care of me. But now, it's different. But then finally, when he takes the bottle and begins to eat hard food, he realizes that he's in the company of his siblings and parents, and he wants to be near her. But he still goes to his mother for sustenance and comfort, but not for food anymore. And that's what weaning is. Childlike trust in God. To be weaned is to have something removed from your life which you thought you couldn't live without. David is saying, I've come to the place where the things I thought I had to have, I don't need anymore. Now my soul is quiet and content. It's really hard to be content. There are things that come into our life all the time. How much of our world goods can we say have we had enough? There was a conversation with a billionaire who said, somebody asked him, when is he going to stop working? He said, when I make enough money. And how much of money is enough, he was asked. He said, just one more dollar. Just one more dollar. In our hearts we think, I would only be happy if I have this new car or this new dress or this new job. We're always frustrated when we ought to be happy. For some, no wonder Thanksgiving just whizzes by and Christmas kind of whizzes by. It's a nightmare sometimes. Instead of being weaned from the world, we're wedded to us. It was Jesus who said, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus wants us to trust him and love him like little children and come to him in love. Faith is like childhood, like childlike in its simplicity. We can have simple and uncomplicated trust in God. Do that. See what happens to your life. How does God go from weaning us from our dependence on things of the world? First of all, he makes the things of the world bitter to us. He removes the things that on which we depend. Sometimes he does that. He removes things from us. Sometimes he gives us things better, which is the love of Christ. In the end of the bloody battle during the Civil War, someone found a note in the pocket of a deceased soldier. Listen to this. It's really amazing. This little note says, I ask for God for strength that I may achieve, but I was made weak that I may learn humbly to obey. I ask for health that I may do greater things, but I was given infirmity that I may do better things. I ask for riches that I may be happy, but I was given poverty so that I may be wise. I ask for power that I may have the praise of men, but I was given weakness so that I could feel the need for God. I ask for all things that I may enjoy life, but I was given life that I may enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I among men are most richly blessed. And he was killed during the Civil War. It's a great advance in spiritual understanding to be able to say, I got nothing I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. That's simple. The third principle is the principle of integrity. Wow, that's a tough word in today's society. How many people do we have that have integrity? Verse 3 says, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. Confidence, that's what it is. I mean, the Hebrew word means confidence. Give confidence in the Lord. Either you choose to live like everyone else or you choose to live and wait on the Lord. Once a child has been weaned and the apron strings have been cut, child comes to rest on his mother's lap, not for sustenance, but just for comfort and strength. That's what integrity is all about. It's about putting your confidence in God. Your soul knows that you don't need those hard assets anymore. You crave the Lord. You crave for humility, simplicity, and integrity. We need those three qualities every year. Each of us should take a look this year at those blessings that we have and try to understand and list them. Write them down for yourself. You don't have to share them with anyone else. Make a list of things that through suffering and hardship as God has given to you because to make you stronger. I can live without that. It may be a relationship, an idea, a personal possession that you lost. Some people here in this congregation have lost personal relationships in one way or another. Sometimes it's difficult to let go. Many people have lost loved ones in their life, and it's so hard to let go. It may be something that you strived for, worked for, and when you got it, you found that it wasn't that important. God has shown me that I don't have to have that in order to be happy. Be thankful for the things you no longer have. As it says in the song that the Peter, Paul, and Mary group sang this morning. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and you'll be surprised what the Lord has done. That is the goodness of God. It's the goodness of the grace of God that he does all these things for us. We ought to be one of the most thankful people on the face of the earth. We have to mark our days, and we should mark our days with simplicity, humility, and integrity. Not for the things that we have, but the things that we no longer have. They build us up and make us stronger. And let the love of God come into your heart now and in this season and forevermore.